काशिया वृंदावने Moonlight Gora, swinging to and fro. The moon-like Lord Gora arrives in Vrindavan while dancing, swaying to and fro and singing the glories of Lord Hari. Hari, Hari! The creepers adorning the trees of Vrindavan are overwhelmed with ecstatic love. And they are speaking about the glories of Lord Hari. Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Flocks of birds who live in the groves are singing the name of Lord Hari. Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Lord Gaura says, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
A female parrot responds, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And then all the male and female parrots start singing a loud chorus of the name of Hari. Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari! Becoming intoxicated by the holy name, the deer come forward from out of the forest. The peacocks and peahens are dancing and frolicking in ecstatic love. Oh, Lord Hari is in his heart. Lord Hari is in his meditation. And he always chants the name of Hari with his voice. Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Gaura Chanda is intoxicated by ecstatic mellows and rolls around on the ground while singing and singing Harinam. Arriving on the bank of the Yamuna River, he dances wildly while chanting Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Mother Yamuna becomes so ecstatic that she arises and comes forward to wash Lord Gauranga's feet. Oh, the moon-like Lord Gaurachandra arrives in Vrindavan while dancing, swaying to and fro and singing the glories of Lord Hari.
Hare Krishna. Today we have here with us Shri Roop Narayan Das. He is the priest of this temple here. The deities are Vichua Vihari. Vichua in Braj Bhasha means the ring which is worn on the toes of married women. So that is what Vichua means. And he's a Brijvasi, he was born here, and he's been rendering service in different temples in Govardhan. From the past 3 years, he's been rendering service in this temple. Now he would be actually telling us about this place, about the Leelas, the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Radha in this place.
Hare Krishna. यह है बिछुआ कुंड है. बिछुआ कुंड यहां ये सभी बिलासवन के नाम से जगह है. ये सभी बिलासवन के नाम से, तो बिलासवन में भगवान के गाय बछड़ा चराव करती.
ओके, दिस इज बिछुआ कुंड. प्रीवियसली दिस वाज कॉल्ड एज विलासवन, द विलास फॉरेस्ट, एंड दिस वाज द प्लेस वेयर Lord Krishna used to graze his innumerable cows and calves.
तो बिलासवन में जब भगवान के गाय बछड़ा चर रहे, तो भगवान कुंड में स्नान बना रहे. ये बिछुआ कुंड, तो यहां में अपने स्नान बना रहे, तो अपने राधा रानी आई और राधा रानी को रास्ता हुई यही है कि मथुरा वृंदावन जाओ करेंगी. तो जब राधा रानी बिछुआ कुंड पे होके नहीं निकल के जा रही, तो भगवान देख रहे के राजेश्वरी और राजकुमार है के नहीं है, ये कुंडन में नाम से डोल रहे.
सो व्हेन द काउस ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा वेर ग्रेजिंग हियर, लॉर्ड कृष्णा वॉज टेकिंग बाथ इन दिस विचुआ कुंड. इट सो हैपेंड दैट दैट मोमेंट श्रीमती राधा रानी विथ हर अदर गोपीज वॉज ऑन हर वे टू मथुरा थ्रू दिस वे. And she was surprised that Krishna, being the king of Vrindavan, is taking bath in this small kund.
तो जब राधा रानी ने कुंड में स्नान करते हुए भगवान को देखो, तो बोले राजकुमार है कि नहीं, यहाँ कैसे कुंडन में नहा रहे हैं। तो ऐसो भाव जब राधा रानी के आयो तो भगवान ने राधा रानी को बुलायो। राधा रानी पास में आई और राधा रानी ते कहवे लगे कि राधा रानी ये ब्रज 84 कोस के 84 कुंड हैं, इनमें अपने स्नान ध्यान पान करवे से अपने 84 लाख योनिन ते मुक्त है जाए।
So when Radharani had such a feeling in her heart, Lord Krishna called Radharani to him and said, "Look, Radha, the Braj Mandala is of 84 kosa. Kosa roughly measures to 1 kosa is equal to 3 kilometers, and the Braj Mandala is supposed to be 84 kosa. And there are 84 such kundas in Braj Mandala." So Lord Krishna mentioned that bathing in these sarovars or in these kundas will redeem one from the 8,400,000 species of life. And this kunda, as Mataji has pointed out, is equal to the 84 other sarovars in Braj Mandala.
So Radha Rani ko batan mein lagaye ke Bhagwan ne aur ishnan banvaye kund mein. तब राधा रानी स्नान बनाए हुए लगी तो अपने पैर में जो बिछिया पहरे माताएं बहन, वो बिछुआ अपनी माया से भगवान ने अपने कुंड में निकाल दियो। जब कुंड में बिछिया निकल गयो और राधा रानी अपने निकल के नहीं अपने वस्त्राभूषण पहन के जब जाने को तैयार भई तो भगवान ते कहवे लगी कि भगवान मैं तो यहां में नहाई तो मेरो पाम को बिछिया या कुंड में गिर गो।
When Srimati Radharani was thus convinced by Lord Krishna about the greatness of this kund, she also took bath here in this kund. And at that instant, Lord Sri Krishna, by his illusory power, removed the ring from her toes. And when Radharani was done with her bath, she discovered that the ring was no more there in her toes.
तो जब ऐसी बात राधा रानी की सुनी तो भगवान कुंड में कूद के गए और एक बिछिया के बदले अनेक बिछियों की फस बल लाए। राधा रानी को एक बिछिया गिरो, भगवान अनेक बिछियन की फस बल लाए और राधा रानी के सन्मुख करो कि तुम अपनो बिछिया छाट लो। तो राधा रानी चकित है गई कि मेरो एक बिछिया गिरो या में अनेक बिछिया कहाँ आए गए।
So when Radharani told Lord Krishna that she had lost her ring of her toe, Lord Krishna immediately jumped into the kunda, and to her surprise, he came up not with one or two such rings, but a handful of two rings. Radharani was very much surprised and perplexed. She thought, I had lost only one. How come there are so many of these two rings in this kunda?
तो जब राधा रानी चकित है गई कि मेरो एक बिछिया गिरो या में अनेक बिछिया कहां ते आए गए, तो भगवान बोले बन के राधा रानी तुम्हारो एक बिछिया परो तो तुम अब एक बिछिया लेके अपने पाग में डारी लो, बाकी को मैं याम छोड़ दूं। तो अपनो राधा रानी ने एक बिछिया निकारो और अपनी उंगलिया में पहरो, बाकी के भगवान ने कुंड में छोड़ दिए। तब ते आको नाम बिछुआ कुंड पड़ो और ये बिछुआ बिहारी जी और राधा रानी जी को मंदिर, ये राधा कृष्ण दोनों विराजे और ये बिछुआ कुंड है। जय श्री कृष्ण।
ये बताना चाहेंगे कि कैसे इतने सारे बिछुए आ गए थे यहाँ पर? सो लॉर्ड कृष्णा अगेन आस्क्ड राधा रानी टू चूज फ्रॉम द मेनी ऑफ द टू रिंग्स विच ही हैड इन हिज हैंड। ही आस्क्ड Radharani to choose her toe ring, and once Radharani was able to choose hers, he again deposited the other toe rings into this kunda, and from that time onwards this is called the Bichhua kunda.
तो अपने बिछुआ कुंड में बिछुआ को दान हुए, जो भी बहना माता बहन आए और भगवान के मंदिर में बिछुआ को दान चढ़ा में, ये 84 कोस की जो यात्रा चले है वो सभी यहाँ आए हैं बिछुआ कुंड पे और अपने बिछुआ को दान मंदिर में चढ़ा में है। जो चांदी को बिछुआ हो ठाकुर जी के मंदिर में चढ़ाए के और अपने सुहाग को दान अपने ठाकुर जी से मांगे, तो ये सुहाग अजर अमर कर विवारिश है बिछुआ व्यारी जय श्री कृष्ण.
So the devotees who come here on the Vrajmandal Parikrama, the married women, they actually Yatri, yes, they give the touring to Vichwa Vihari temple out here, and the silver touring, and they beg of the deities here to ensure long life to their husband. So that was the leela about this place. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hari Bol.
Om Agyanatamilandasya Jana Janasalakaya Chaksu Samilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Vansakopatubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. He's a very gentle soul. When we visited here before the retreat, we met him on the road riding his bicycle to the and he was and Prashanta Matasi recognized that he was the pujari, and he was so happy that we would be coming in a very simple and pure way. Mahaprabhu was staying in Akuratirtha. Today I have a photograph of not exactly Akuratirtha, but just by the Yamuna of Akuratirtha. Mostly of cows, but such a wonderful place. And there are many, because the Yamuna has moved here and there, Sachi. He's up in the sky as usual. And you can hold. Very auspicious, actually, to see a cow with a calf, or a calf. So Mahaprabhu was staying there. And then, as we read, seeing a great crowd assembled at Mathura, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left and went to Akuratirtha. And he remained there in a solitary place. I think it may not be so practical to hang this one, but the next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan. So the next day, he entered Vrindavan from Akuratirtha. Perhaps it would take an hour and a half to walk from Akuratirtha to where Mahaprabhu first saw in Vrindavan itself, in the Vrindavan forest. And there in Vrindavan, he took his bath in the Kaliya Lake and Praskananda. So, again, Mahaprabhu was ecstatic to be in Vrindavan, because his desire was to taste the sweetness of the exchanges between the Brijbasis and Krishna. But there's another one coming, so this sweet taste gives Krishna pleasure. Offering Vedic prayers to Krishna, of course, gives him pleasure, and people acknowledging his position as the Supreme Lord, as they should, gives him pleasure. But no one causes him happiness like the residents of Vrindavan, due to the special intimacy of their love for him. There is a word in Sanskrit, also in Hindi, I believe, called mamata. Mamata means a feeling of mineness. He's mine. Just like if we meet a person from the country that we were born in or grew up in, immediately in the midst of so many others, there's a feeling, oh, he is one of my people, from my place. So the Brijbasis, in a way that is in some way a little foreign to us, felt that way about Krishna. The why I say foreign to us is because they were in one village, and none of us grew up in a village. But in India, especially in those days, people of the village they all had such a family relationship. Even nowadays, I was speaking to one gentleman who grew up in an apartment building in Mumbai. And he said that when any mother would cook a meal for her own family, she would cook extra, extra, and extra, because all the children who lived in the apartment building would come by and ask for some food, so she would cook for everyone. There was no open, closed doors. There was none of that fearing, but the mothers and the fathers and everyone grew up together in a very, very open way. So that feeling of villagey feeling that you are ours, you are my Krishna, was how all the residents of Vrindavan felt about him. And that, in and of itself, brings a special intimacy that no one else can taste. In spiritual life, there are two feelings. One is, I am Krishna's, and the other is, Krishna is mine. Especially when applying the teachings of Mahaprabhu in an advanced stage, what is dominant is the feeling that Krishna is mine. That is called mamata, and that is the special characteristic of the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. So in the material world, there is a taste, a warmness of heart, a love that comes from that feeling of mamata. But in Vrindavan, Krishna is so wonderful. Just imagine what it would be like if you grew up with a friend and he was so close to you, and you shared everything together. When you went to school together, he would just put his hand in your lunchbox when you went to school and take out some of it, and you would do the same with him. And it was just, and you would play with him all day long. And then that person grew up to be the president of the country. Now, how much, when you understood, oh, my dear friend is so wonderful, he's so intelligent, he's so powerful, that simply increases the love of friendship. But in the pure state, the love is not diminished, it's not lessened even the slightest bit. If our dear, dear childhood friend grew up, who we grew up with, then became an internet billionaire, there would be a tendency, or if somehow or another, by the greatest fortune of his life, Bill Gates would walk into our little assembly here, we would all smile at him, and, you know, naturally, we'd all be looking at him. But what would we all be thinking, despite our smiles? Money. Yes. How could I somehow or another extract some money for him? Now, the mother of that wealthy personality. And this is why it's so difficult on one level to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because everyone expresses love for you, but everyone is thinking what they can get from you. You know, give me this and give me that and take away this problem. There's no actual love. It's all selfish and self-centered. And Krishna longs, because he's a person, the Supreme Person. He longs for love. So when there's someone, say his mother, this wealthy, wealthy, wealthy person's mother, when she sees her son, she knows how wealthy he is, but it doesn't diminish the affection she has for him. This is the nature of the motherly love. She might even tell him to make sure you're dressed warmly when you go out and things like that. He has maybe thousands of servants and bodyguards, but she's still telling him that and wants to cook for him herself because of the dominance of love. So the residents of Vrindavan, sometimes we see they actually express their knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But the speciality of the residents of Vrindavan is that their love overwhelms any knowledge of Krishna's position. It is so great that it covers their understanding of his potencies. Like when Mother Yasoda looked in Krishna's mouth and saw the entirety of the universes and herself also, she didn't get awestruck at all. She just thought, maybe I'm dreaming, maybe I'm sick, maybe this and that. Anyway, Krishna, don't eat dirt again. This is the love of the Brijbasis. When, as we heard at Akuragat, when they saw that that Krishna was there in Vaikuntha, but they couldn't approach him in their normal way, they felt the happiness of a millionaire who had lost his wealth and got a hint of how to get it back. This is what we heard from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They got a glimpse of their actual loving relationship with Krishna, which is, as one of our acharyas has said, one drop of this love is so powerful. One drop of love of Krishna, of Brijbasis, of the residents of Vrindavan, is so powerful. One drop can drown the entire world. Now, when we try to understand the pastimes of Krishna and try to understand what Mahaprabhu wished to relish from the position of the Ashraya, the possessor of that love, he wanted to touch that and taste that. We should know something about rasa tattva, the theory of rasa. And this is also the basic theory of natak, or drama, or movies, or even in literature. Now, in every child's book, child's literature, what does the hero have to be, or the heroine? Excuse me? At least young. Because if a young girl of 12 reads about another young girl of 12, then what happens? This is the essence of the theory of rasa. And also it's very important to understand this ultimately when we try to understand the processes of rag marg. Yes, exactly. Some identification has to take place. When you go to a movie, and of course, none of you go to movies, because we already have so much garbage in our consciousness, we don't want to add any more thoughts. But if one went to a movie, and the first thing that has to happen is that a sense of identifying has to be set up between the audience and the hero. And then, now if the hero is a person that there is no affection for and respect for and identification with, then no identification is going to be set up. And then if he loses his dear love or gets in a fight and gets beat up, we don't care at all. But once an identification is set up, whatever happens to him, if he's in danger, we feel terror ourselves. And if he falls in love, we feel some happiness because of the identification. So when a soul has seeking mundane rasa in the material world to taste the sweetness that the soul is longing to taste, he tries to build these relationships in the world of matter and tries to taste rasa in the world of matter. But because we are eternal, we are souls, and because our natural relationship with Krishna, the result is dissatisfaction. So when one has attained a loving relationship with Krishna, and instead of having taken shelter of the material energy, has attained the shelter of the spiritual energy, the Ladini Sambit, that is called Staibhav. He's established in his relationship with Krishna. It takes him attaining the shelter of Ladini Shakti, Krishna's internal pleasure-giving potency. And then that is at least the stage of Bhava. Now, if one has attained, has a loving relationship with Krishna established in this way, everything that happens in that relationship with Krishna causes ecstasy. Ecstasy. Indescribable ecstasy. I say indescribable because what can we say about it from this position here in the material world with all our experiences limited to the material world? One time in the 60s, 1966, there were only hippies with Srila Prabhupada. And one of them asked Prabhupada, one of the hippies asked Prabhupada, what is it like in Goloka Vrindavan? Now, two times this happened, one in 1966 and one in 1967 in San Francisco that I'm aware of. And in 1966, Prabhupada replied to the hippies, it is like an ocean of LSD. Now, obviously, we know that it has nothing to do with LSD. Either a drop or a bucket or an ocean of LSD. But how can make someone understand something that is beyond his conception? Another time, a devotee who was in anxiety about being drafted into the United States Army during the Vietnam War days, his name was Jivananda. He asked Prabhupada, what is it like in Goloka Vrindavan? And Prabhupada replied, you won't be bothered fearing you'll be drafted into the army. You won't be bothered by the draft board. How can we understand something that has nothing to do with matter? We actually can't understand. But if we are very fortunate, we can get some bit of a hint, of a glimpse, by watching how the Brijbasis deal with Krishna, because they are the ashraya, the container, the shelter of the love for Krishna that we as souls naturally long for. Now, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Vrindavan and took his bath in the Kaliya Lake and Prashkandanand. Now, we're going to hear the pastime of Krishna and how he chastises Kaliya. Maybe I don't know. Two years ago, Satchinanda Maharaj and Jagatrini Mataji and myself, after we finished the retreat, we were presented with a huge gift, and I wanted to bring it, but it was too far. And that gift I brought with us, and it's in Jagatrini Mataji's room. But we have a big piece of the very tree that Krishna climbed upon, the Kaliya Kadamba. This tree has felt the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. It is still alive. Even today. So today we'll have an opportunity, if someone reminds me especially, during tonight we'll have slideshows, and tonight the slideshows, there are three new ones that I'll show, but one is officially my current favorite, and it's very relevant. It's sort of the theme of this particular presentation that I'm making, but I won't tell you any more than this. But tonight, Krishna willing, and electricity willing, we shall see it. Let's see if we do as well as half that we... So Mahaprabhu went there, and Prashkandananda is where he also went in this verse that described. He took darshan, because after Krishna, he was in the water when he chastised the Kaliya snake for quite a long time. And if one is in the water for a long time, one becomes cold. So Krishna displayed the pastime of becoming cold. Yes. That's a cuckoo. Kokil. Sometimes the cuckoos leave their eggs in the... No, it's the crows. The cuckoos leave their eggs in the crow's nest. So they continue because they're both blackish, although cuckoos have different characteristics as well. Kokil. So, tonight we should have darshan and get the blessings of this tree. So after Krishna was cold, he climbed up the hill there, which is where the Madan Mohan temple is currently. And there is one place called... and we'll hear something a little about it tomorrow. Dwadas Aditya on there. So there are 12 suns manifested. The 12 Adityas manifested as suns to warm Krishna. because this is the pleasure of every living entity, is to serve Krishna. If we could become convinced of this point, trying to do something for Krishna's pleasure, instead of for our own pleasure, then we will have some realizations. And this is a good place to pray for that. So those 12 sons warmed Krishna so much that he began to perspire. And Krishna's perspiration flowed down into a lake called Praskandananda. So Mahaprabhu bathed in that lake as well. So he bathed in the Kaliya lake where Kaliya lived. Now, Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan was tasting this. This is what he desired. He was always in ecstasy, tasting the sweet rasa of the Brijbasis and their dealing with Krishna. When the Stai Bhava is established, unless the Stai Bhava is established, means the fixed relationship with Krishna is established, then we don't, on the spiritual platform, we won't actually experience great sweetness like Mahaprabhu experienced. Just like if when we watch, if you watch on television the news, oh, the mind can get so disturbed. But aside from that, if we see that there's a disaster, a flood in some far away part of the world, or if we see that there's some war going on, we can sit and watch this and eat our dinner at the same time, because the heart doesn't become moved, because there is no feeling of identification established. Or if a mother, a loving mother, sees her child's shoes, her own child's shoes, just seeing those shoes evokes so much love in the heart, because these are the shoes of my child whom I love. But if you walk into a shoe store, no one experiences anything, because there's no connection between shoes and the people. But someone who has this Stai Bhava in relationship to Krishna, this is the foundation of rasa. And then by udipan, by something stimulating the relationship, the alambana, the relationship between the object of love, Krishna, and the vishaya, the object of love, and the ashraya, the udipana stimulates it. So something happens, like the shoes of my child come before my eyes, and I'm thinking of my child somewhere, but as soon as I see the shoes or a picture or photograph, then the love is stimulated. The love of one's beloved, the affection. And then, because of the stimulation, then there is three other things that occur, different types of ecstasies. Anubhava, vyabhachari. Anubhava means actions. Actions, just like we see a respected personality. We see our spiritual master, perhaps, or if Prabhupada walked in here, everyone would immediately fall to the ground. Quickly. Immediately. That was the effect of the powerful. It was like a big hurricane passed through a forest and knocked down all the trees. Everything would fall like that. So, depending upon whether it goes through the consciousness or it touches the sattva of the heart, the Suddha sattva, the consciousness directly, it's either the reaction is either an anubhava or a sattvika bhava. And then there is emotions, and those are called vyabhachari bhavas. So rasa consists of these five things. The staibhav, the vibhav, the stimulation of the relationship. And then, just like when Akura saw Krishna's footprints, that acted as a stimulant in Utipan. And he fell into the dust of Braja and was rolling in the dust of Braja and was experiencing ecstasy doing this because his love for Krishna was stimulated. So Mahaprabhu, in these verses, he's experiencing, even though it's not described so much except when he gets to Rasa Stali, the place where the rasa dance took place. But then he begins to roll in the ground because his love is completely stimulated. It's like walking into a shoe store because there's no love in the heart. So this is something to lament about very deeply. We live loveless lives. And we shouldn't, think that material rasa can satisfy us spirit souls. If we think like that, we'll become very disappointed. And we'll become very disappointed with somebody else for not having given me what I was looking for. But we should become very disappointed with ourselves only because we foolishly are looking in the wrong place. I would like to read now and speak about, if Krishna allows me, the pastime that occurred in Kaliyagat. I'll speak a little about this. So, after Krishna, in the 15th chapter of the 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami has described Krishna's first entry into the Vrindavan forest. And he's taken the cows. And the whole forest is so jubilant. And then he describes the Sakuras, Krishna's dealings with the cowboys and how they're arm wrestling and just playing like boys. Because with Krishna there, that playing isn't ordinary playing. Because Krishna is the object of these boys' love in the unique way that the Brijbasis love Krishna. Their playing causes the greatest ecstasy to arise in their hearts. So much ecstasy that when Krishna walks behind a tree and they cannot see him, for a moment, the ecstasy of being with Krishna shifts to the ecstasy of being separate from Krishna as their heart cracks. How much love, just imagine how much love it must take to feel a shift in the heart by the blinking of an eye. When you cannot see your beloved, just imagine how much love there must be in the residence of Vrindavan. Of course, we can't imagine it. because it's of a different substance. Maharaj encouraged me to come, and he said he would take care of me. So this is the motherly aspect that many of you experience from Maharaj that I don't get the fortune of experiencing so often. So, please read Srimad Bhagavatam. I humbly request you, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, to please read Bhagavatam. But not only read it, and not go jumping just to the 10th canto. I had my experience many years ago. I was very focused on the 10th canto, and I got into some trouble from that. But then I said, okay, I'll do it the way Prabhupada recommended. So when I went to Perth, I started studying and teaching from the first canto, very carefully studying it and teaching it to the best of my ability. And then after several years, quite miraculously, we were up to the 10th canto. It happens. But the idea is that the proper conceptions and purification are in place by that time, if one does it in a proper way. And then one really understands the Bhagavatam, how the whole Bhagavatam is leading us to introduce us to this Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, this most all-attractive person, not to bring us to the waters of Brahman, and not even to bring us to Vaikuntha, where Lord Narayan reigns, and not even to bring us to Goloka Vaikuntha, where Krishna is there being worshipped by the personified Vedas, but to bring us to Vrindavan, to have a fully awakened relationship with Krishna. So the cowherd boys were playing with Krishna, and described very nicely in the 15th chapter. And when the cowherd boys go home at night, and Krishna's Kaviraj describes that when the cowherding pastimes are finished in the day, all Krishna and the cows come home, and all the animals of Braja just come accompany them, the birds and the deers, to the edge of the Vrindavan forest and wait till the next morning. Little pastimes like the one we heard at Bilchokund have so much sweetness in them. Unlimited sweetness, actually. And therefore, great devotees in these holy places in previous times who had great qualification, they just sat here all day and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted, associating with the dust in the holy places, feeling like Maharaj, as Maharaj is explaining, completely unqualified on one side, but their desire on this side is so great that despite their disqualification, it's pulling them to become beggars, crying as they're begging for the mercy to bridge the unlimited gap between their desire and their qualification through the holy names. And this is the content, the bhav, that calls Krishna to actually appear in the holy names, in his holy names fully. to manifest this potency. If we have no bhav, and we can't make believe we do and we don't, because then it becomes mundane sentiment. So we want to hear and develop these desires to become servants of Krishna. But before we can become servants of Krishna, we have to get it in our consciousness that we cannot become masters of this world. And therefore Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that if one actually accepts that no material situation can make him happy, he has taken the greatest step forward in spiritual life, because the master concept is on the way to really being broken. And then the servant concept can be born. So Krishna, after Sukadev describes to Maharaj Prakrit the coward boys, then he describes first the entry into the forest and the coward boys playing with Krishna, and then he describes the killing of Dhanukasura by Balaram, and then he describes Krishna's entry into his hometown after coming back. And it's just 2, 3, 4, 5 verses that describe this, maybe 6. And it is so sweet, actually, due to the merciful commentaries of our acharyas that expand it so we can taste some of the sweetness. How when Krishna comes back, how the coward boys are so happy. It's the time for the animals of Vrindavan to wait on the edge until the next day of the forest. It's their time to cry. And the coward birds have been laughing and playing all day. But now Krishna is entering his home, and it's their time to go mad and cry. When will the sun rise? Why is the sun taking so long to rise? They cannot tolerate the darkness, because the sunrise means that they can be with Krishna together with the cows, and the cows are just mooing and mooing. When is our time? And the people who stayed home, the young gopis, the elderly gopis, the coward men, when Krishna's coming home, it's their time to come alive again, because they can see Krishna. The young gopis can't even talk to Krishna. And they can't even look at him directly. They're not even allowed to do that. But they can look at him from the corner of their eyes. And then Krishna looks at him, at them. And then the electricity, spiritual electricity, meets. And they know each other's hearts by these little glances. But it is not at all material. It is like an ocean. It's like an ocean. And as the poet Govinda Das explains, we are now tasting one drop in the desert of our hearts, and we want an ocean. If all we have is a drop, we will cling to that drop. But what Prabhupada spent his life doing, and so much of his preaching was no, this drop is rascaldom. These people who you're listening to are rascals, and they're cheaters, and so much so that you don't want to hear it anymore. Rascal this and rascal that. But he wants to convince us that the drop will never satisfy us, and that there's an ocean. There's an ocean. In Vrindavan, the ocean seeps through. after describing how Mother Yasoda and Rohini bathed Krishna and Balaram, then at the end of the 15th chapter, the beginning of the next pastime takes place. And that is chapter 16, where Krishna chastises Kaliya. So it describes, Sukadev describes, how Maharaj, how Krishna, it is Balaram's birthday. So Krishna goes out to herd the cows without Balaram, but with Mother Yasoda's permission, actually. But immediately, Mother Yasoda especially is in anxiety, because Balaram protects Krishna. But they go out. And because they are wandering in the Vrindavan forest, which a part that's a small forest that's very fresh, and the grasses are very green. The cows are very eager to go there. Fresh green grass for cows. They're so eager. So they go ahead of the boys because of their eagerness. And then they see the Yamuna River. And in their eagerness to drink water, cows, I don't know if you know this, require a lot of water each day. So they went to the Yamuna. They were so thirsty. And they began to drink. And they immediately fell down dead. And the coward boys who were just behind, because the cows had rushed ahead, became shocked because the cows were everything to them. It was their wealth. Cows are so lovable. What to speak of this? They were cowards men. This was the whole source of the whole community's wealth. But even that, they had such a mood of protecting them. So when the coward boys saw that the cows had died and were lying on the ground, they also drank the water, thinking, our lives are useless. And they died. Now, I spoke about this point once, but it's something that perhaps requires a little more talking about, that when Krishna saw the cows, his consciousness of being Savagya, what does Savagya mean? When he's in Vrindavan Leela, raise your hand if you ever had a surprise birthday party.
Happened to yourself?
Yeah, to yourself. Yeah. Raise your hand if someone ever gave you a surprise. A surprise, something that was really so nice and it really touched you deeply. If you were Savagya, you could never be surprised. And then you would be lacking that. So Krishna can be Savagya, but at the same time he can, by the potency of his Leela Shakti, Mugdate, compress his consciousness into that of a, like a coward boy. Now how can he do this? Does he stop being God when he does this? But he experiences, he wants to do this. When the king is in his palace, and his little boy is riding on his back like a horse, and he's going up on what, rearing up on, the president is, the king is rearing up on his hind legs, and he's thinking, I'm like a horse. Does he stop being the king? But yet he requires a certain consciousness to do this. He has to think of himself as a grandfather. He has to let go of the problems of the kingdom and all the important decisions he has to make. So Krishna somehow, in his inconceivable abilities, unlimited abilities, he does this. And when Krishna saw the cows and the boys lying there dead, his complexion, which is normally sham, darkish like a cloud, became still darker. And he began to cry, feeling so bad that he had been neglectful, so neglectful of the boys and the cows, because he's in the mood of a friend. His mood of a friend doesn't allow him to think of himself as the Supreme Personality of a God, of Godhead, because the love of the king's grandson forces the king to become a horse. The love of the Prajapatis forces God, the absolute truth, to become a coward boy. And this is just what Krishna wants. The king, if he has to sit on the throne all the time, he'll be bored. He needs the... So this is the only way we can think about it, even though intellectually it doesn't all fit together, but this is Krishna's deepest desire. He wants to be loved just for being Krishna, instead of being, oh, give me this and give me this and give me that and give me this and give me this, and you are the all-powerful one and the wind is blowing because of you. He's going, how much more? Doesn't anyone love me just because I'm me? It's everyone is longing to be so wealthy and famous in this world. But what happens to those famous rock and roll singers who have become so wealthy, and every time they step outside, millions of young girls come out and go, ah! What happens to them? They end up crazy, degraded and crazy. Because it's all meant for Krishna. He's the only one who can deal with that. It's meant for Krishna. He's Krishna. He has no false ego. That's why. His only real ego, real identity. So, Krishna, from his lotus-like eyes, tears began to fall. And those tears cause sprouts to come up in the ground. And those tears of Krishna brought back to life the cows and the boys who Krishna was right next to. Krishna loves the cows and he loves his friends. He loves, even though, oh, I won't say it again, but we have, for us, we need to keep both sides in mind, because we have to know that Krishna loves his devotees even more than he loves himself. It's described in the 11th canto. He says that to Uddhava. Otherwise, we will never take the risk of giving ourselves to him. We will always be holding back unless we actually deeply trust that and taste it too. So then Krishna, with his glance, brought back the rest of the cows and boys. And then each boy, he went over to them and embraced them. And each cow, actually they were young cows who were just about to give birth to their first calf. And he held them around their necks and embraced them. And then he became angry. Now, our acharyas have explained that one of the reasons why Krishna went without Balaram is because Balaram would have never let him do what he was now going to do. And Krishna being somewhat tricky, because Krishna, he's always generating rasa. We'll just take that. We're a little touched by the fact how Krishna dealt with his boyfriends and the cows, and he actually cried. But just imagine for a moment that you know nothing except Krishna in your life. He is the... Not that you don't love others, but you love Krishna. Because you love Krishna, you love others. You love Krishna so much, and then you die. And then Krishna's tears bring you back to life. His tears because of his sadness of what had happened to you. Now, upon awakening, and looking at Krishna, and then experiencing his embrace, just imagine what would happen to your love for Krishna. It would... That is why Krishna is called Rasaraj. He knows. Not only does he know, if he had to organize this himself, then he'd always be thinking, oh, now the coward boys have to die. And that would completely interfere with the pure feeling of these are my friends. So he delegates this to his Leela Shakti, his potency, Yogamaya, that organizes these Leelas in such a way that Krishna even himself becomes surprised and wondrous of how wonderful they are. This is Kaloka Vrindavan. Do we really want to stay in the material world? No. It didn't take you long to answer that question. We really want to develop the desire to be there with Krishna, to be here with Krishna. Because unless we are here with Krishna, we will not be there with Krishna. Now Krishna told, he then pointed to one tree that was still alive. Because in that water, while the boys had died and the cows had died, there was a snake living, and that snake was named Kaliya. And he was not an ordinary snake. He was so venomous, he had 1,000 hoods, of which 100 were prominent, perhaps 101. And Kaliya was giving off so much poison from his eyes. Would give off poison from his mouth, his tongue, his fangs would give off poison. And he was living there with his servants and subordinates and family members. And Krishna had been tolerating his presence in Vrindavan up until this point. But now he became angry because he had hurt his dear cows and boys. and he decided that Kaliya would have to leave. But when Krishna does these things, he does everything in a wonderful way. He could have just gone, and Kaliya would have had to go. He could have moved his eyebrow. He could have done it without moving his eyebrow. He could have willed a bolt of lightning, 100 bolts of lightning to strike Indra. But when Krishna does something because he's Rasaraj, he does everything to increase everyone's ecstasy, and he knows how to put on a good show, so to speak. Because he wants us to be able to think about these pastimes as well. He performs his leelas, especially his boyhood Vrindavan leelas, to give us something to think about and talk about and enter into the mood of very deeply. Deeply. So therefore he performs his pastimes in Vrindavan. So Krishna told his boyfriends that there is, notice that there is only one tree that is standing. All the trees for 100 yards, meters, that's almost the same, have been killed by the poison of Kaliya. There was a vapor, how do you say vapor in?
Dunst.
That's a good sounding word for it. Dunst. Coming up, that was so virulent and poisonous that birds would be flying over and they would touch that vapor and they would die and fall into the water dead. Have any of you ever come in contact with sulfuric acid or something like that? Yes. It's like that, but an ocean of sulfuric acid. You can't be near it. It boils. It bubbles. And just when you get near it, you can't. So it was like that. So Krishna said, the reason why this tree, Kadamba tree, and this is the same Kadamba tree that is still alive in Vrindavan, and the same Kadamba tree, a big, mighty branch, you will have darshan of tonight. The reason why it is still alone, still alive, is because Garuda, and there's a story connected, Puranic story, has taken some nectar and he has placed it on this tree, and therefore it still lives. He told the boys this. Right now, I'm going to climb this tree to see if any of that nectar is on the top. Because if Krishna said what he was going to actually do, the boys would not have let him do it. He had a plan. So Krishna climbed to the top of the tree. And then what did he do? Tightened his belt. Stodhi. Fixed his turban and tightened it properly. And he was wearing a garland of Kadamba flowers at this time. So we can understand this was probably... Sometimes the acharyas differ when they say this pastime took place. But if he's wearing Kadamba flower, but then again, at every season in Vrindavan, everything can occur. He was wearing, because Krishna is such a good dancer, and oops, he is such a good dresser. That even when he's killing demons, because he's not aware, and this comes out later actually, He's not aware of what the universe is doing, but he does want to attract the gopis all the time. He dresses, he's called Natabara, like the best of dancing actors all the time. So little Krishna, who was just perhaps 5 years old, he jumped into the Yamuna. And little Krishna made such a big splash that the river, it was a lake within the river, overflowed its banks for 100 dhanurs. Yes, which means, if I remember correctly, 12 palm lengths is a dhanur. So I think that's about this much times 100. So that's 202 football fields. Something we can understand, 200 meters approximately, or yards. And it, little Krishna jumped in. And he makes such a powerful force in there that Kaliya knew that his residence was being challenged. He immediately, because this Kaliya Ridda was, I think it was 8 miles across, a yojana across. In some places it was huge, and Krishna jumped in. And Kaliya, because of snakes, because of their poison, they are hot. They're always angry. They cannot tolerate being touched by another immediately. If you kick a snake by accident, immediately, there's no tolerance, there's no fear, there's anger. So Kaliya immediately became angry. You dare to come to my lake? Who is this? Whoever. And while Krishna was in the water, he just began playing and swimming about from one end to the other and making music by splashing the water in different ways. And the whole time he was smiling. When Kaliya came to Krishna, Krishna was so beautiful. Please think of how beautiful Krishna was. Think how beautiful Krishna is. Think of your most sweetest conception of Krishna. There is our Murli Manohar. Look at his smile. So enchanting. Just if you saw this boy swimming in the water, just imagine what your consciousness would have to be to do what Kaliya did. He immediately bit him on the chest. Immediately. And then he was huge. He enwrapped Krishna in his coils, trying to crush him. That's what snakes do, python types especially. Their snake body is like one huge muscle. And he wrapped Krishna and he was the king of snakes. And he tried to crush Krishna. And Krishna just stood there, held within his coils. Now, the coward boys and the cows were conscious at this time. Before I say how they reacted, I would like to say that when, and this is the same point about when Sai Baba is there or when it's not there, when Sukadev Goswami began telling this verse, telling this to Maharaj Prickett this past time, he wasn't planning on telling the whole story. He just said one verse. Alokya Dishitam Krishnam. Krishna Krishna Hina Vibhu Tasya Vishuddham Anvichan Sarpam Tam Udava Sayed. It's a very interesting verse, actually, because there's one word that's mentioned three times. Vilokya Dushitam Krishnam. Krishna, Krishna, Hina Vibhu. The word Krishna is mentioned three times. But each one of those Krishnas are different in the poetry of Sukadev and Vyasadev. One Krishna is Krishna, our Krishna. And another Krishna is blackish Yamuna Krishna, and the other is the black snake Krishna Hina. So all Sukadev says, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing that the Yamuna River had been contaminated by the black snake Kaliya, he desired to purify the river, and thus the Lord banished him from it. He told the whole pastime in one sloka because for the devotees who love Krishna, actually love Krishna, to hear that Krishna, their beloved, is wrapped in the coils of Kaliya is painful. So now we can lament, or I can lament my condition. No love. We can watch on television the news and see horrendous things happening in the world, but because we don't know, identify with, or love those people, our hearts remain untouched. We can hear that Krishna is enwrapped in the snake, and our hearts remained untouched. But Sukadev didn't really want to tell the story, but Maharaj Prickett asked about it. He inquired further, and therefore Sukadev began to speak. Telling the pastime. When Krishna was enwrapped in the coils of the snake, that whole lake was surrounded by the animals, by birds, by the cows, by the cowherd boys, by the farmers living nearby. And in the words of Sukadev, when the members of the cowherd community who had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend, when they saw him enveloped in the snake's coils, motionless, they were greatly disturbed. They had offered Krishna everything. Their identification, self-identification, is I am Krishna. He's everything to me. Nothing else matters. And that is actually, that's why we say an initiation ceremony. Initiation means the beginning, because at that time we get a name of Krishna. And always there is Dasa Dasi at it because it's the beginning of our actually changing our identification from being the body or anything else to being Krishna's servant. We are Krishna's, and Krishna becomes ours. So they had offered Krishna everything. Their very selves, their families, their wealth, their wives, and all pleasures. At the sight of the Lord in the clutches of the Kaliya snake, their intelligence became deranged by grief. They could not think. And thus, they fell to the ground. And like trees, if we cut a tree at its root, the tree immediately just goes. There's nothing holding it anymore. And that is what the cowherd men and the cowherd boys did. They fell to the ground. No intelligence. Like trees cut at the root. The cows, the bulls, the female calves, and the birds, in great distress, they called out piteously to Krishna, fixing their eyes on him. They stood still in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears. And Krishna was there, enwrapped in the coils of the snake. Then immediately, in the Vrindavan area, there were all inauspicious omens manifest. With auspicious omens manifesting here. Because the reason why Sukadeva agreed to tell this pastime to Maharaj Prickett was because he knew if he would hear it to the end, his great sadness would be turned into great jubilation, because Krishna comes out not only alive, but he conquers. And not only does he conquer, he causes Kaliya to submit. But not only does he cause Kaliya to submit, he does it in such a wonderful way with his Vajrayanti garland and his turban on right and his dhoti tied tightly, and he's dancing this way and dancing that way. And all the Brijbasis became so happy. But now isn't the time for happiness. So all inauspicious omens began to manifest in Braja. And it was the time when they were performing that ceremony for Balaram's birthday. So they were doing the ceremony, and it was very auspicious. And Mother Yasoda noticed the inauspicious signs. And she immediately went to the place where the ceremony was being performed and said, "How could we perform this ceremony? Look! Krishna must be in trouble. The ceremony must be stopped immediately." Immediately they stopped. And immediately, just the thought that Krishna must be in trouble, all the Brijbasis there were in complete anxiety and anguish. Balaram was there. He knew. He is not covered by Yogamaya in the same way as the other Brijbasis. But he knew that Krishna's Yogamaya is working here. But yet, he, knowing that Krishna couldn't be hurt, knowing that he couldn't stop the pastime from occurring, he also felt anguish because, just like at a wedding or a funeral, as soon as one person starts crying, everyone starts crying. So Balaram felt anguish to see the anguish of the Brijbasis, even though he knew everything would turn out wonderfully. Immediately, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? We must go to him immediately. And everyone, all the residents of the Vrindavan town, began running to where Krishna was. And how did they know who he was, where he was? Because they followed his footprints. And why, since he was with the cows, why weren't those footprints, why were they still visible? And the answer is, in Vrindavan, everyone fully respects the footprints of Krishna. No one will walk over them or brush them in any way. So watching these signs, inauspicious signs, all the residents of Vrindavan proceeded to where Krishna was being held by Kaliya. Nanda Maharaj, upon arriving there, saw the situation and immediately he started talking to the boys. What happened? What happened? Did Krishna walk in to the water, or did that snake come on the land and grab him and pull him into the water? What happened? But no one could reply. Everyone was stunned. No one could speak. They didn't know if they were alive or dead. They were just stunned because their life, who was Krishna, was being threatened. Mother Yasoda fainted. She started running into the water, but she fainted before she could get there. And all the cowherd ladies were in a similar situation, but they stayed alive just because they were fanning Mother Yasoda, taking cold water and putting it on her and telling her the pastimes of Krishna. Oh, Krishna killed Bakasura. Oh, Krishna killed Putana. Oh, Krishna killed Trinavarta. Because these pastimes gave her the faith and hope that this snake would also end up being killed by Krishna. And in that way, she stayed alive. Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men immediately tried to go into the waters. But Balaram stopped them. Some by physically holding them, some by his glance, his smile, because they thought, Balaram loves Krishna. If he's smiling, then he must not be so frightened that Krishna will come to harm. And some Balaram pacified by his words, by confidently telling them, Krishna killed Bakasura, Krishna killed this one. Soon, even though it looks difficult at this moment, soon Krishna is going to triumph over this Kaliya snake. And then he'll come out of the water, and if you enter into the water, you'll die by the poison. And then when Krishna, he's going to come out. And who will take care of Krishna if he comes out? And you're all poisoned and dead. Anena sarva durga ni yunjan anjas tadishyata. He reminded them of Gaga Muni's words. Sriya kirtya sabidasyena gopiyasva samahita. That it is your duty to protect him, and don't worry, he will save you and everyone from all dangers. So he pacified some by words. This place is so nice, and also we can't see it from here, but there are many old trees here. Kadamba trees and tamal trees. Kadamba trees, tamal, kadamba, very, very old trees. In previous days, the sadhus would plant kadamba, tamal, to remind them of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So all around here, and this kund used to be much bigger. And that sound, I think it is why it's better that we are here today than there. A big festival going on there. So Balaram stopped everyone and he just smiled. But the Vrijbasis were in so much anxiety. No intelligence, no life in their body. And thus the example that the Acharyas gave, that they fell down to the ground like a tree cut out at its root. Because when the root is cut, its very support, its life is finished. So the Brijbasis fell down like that. They had nothing left. They were stunned. They were like animals. They had no intelligence. And when Krishna saw the distress of the Brijbasis, his beloved devotees, he decided to free himself. And he began to expand. But first I would like to say that Sanatana Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, looking at things from a different perspective, says that how could anyone have the fortune that Kaliya had to be embracing Krishna for so long? So he looks at it and avoiding the painful part as, oh, Kaliya just wanted to give Krishna a big hug. And then Krishna stayed in that hug, that embrace, for one muhurta, which means 48 minutes. So why did Krishna stay in that embrace for so long? Because Krishna, the perfect gentleman, knew that when someone embraces you, it's impolite to abruptly break yourself from that embrace. So he's looking at it from a different point of view. So Krishna expanded himself, thinking, okay, Kaliya, you've showed your power, and now I will show you some of my power. So he expanded himself. And Kaliya was forced to let him go. He was forced by Krishna's power. And then Krishna stood opposite Kaliya. And Kaliya began manifesting. He rose up into the water. Because before, he was only partially in the water. And he became he showed his true full form. Having 1,000 hoods doubling. And he was so angry that he has done this to me. He has done this to me. And he took up his 100 of his thickest, most venomous, strongest hoods, doubling back like this, and his eyes red with anger, his mouth licking both sides of his, because snakes have bifurcated tongues, said, I'll show you who I am. And Krishna began going this way. And when the snake went this way to try to catch Krishna, Krishna started going the other way, and the snake tried to catch him from behind. And back and forth, and back and forth. And the snake, due to Krishna's movements, gradually became tired. And then Krishna decided to dance. And he grabbed Kaliya by his thickest, most prominent hood. And he pushed it down with his hand. And then jumped up on the hood. Now, and he began kicking it. But so we understand the wonders of Krishna. Like when I was sitting next to Maharaj during that slideshow yesterday, he said at one point, this is my favorite part. And what was that part?
Yes. When the Rasa dance commenced, when there was a very dee-dee-tini-tini-dee-dee-da-da-da, and then the circle of the dancing gopis began to rotate.
Yes.
Around Radha and Krishna in the center.
And Maharaj began to go dee dee ta ta ta. When Krishna was dancing on Kaliya, at that time there was no music, and he was dancing. So he got up and he started going like a dancer. He started. I'm not very good at this.
At least you are
splendid. Da, 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 da. And he started making those sounds. Di, da, di, di. And if you've ever seen these classical Indian dances, does anyone know how to do this? Da, da. Kick their heels down. And this way, he was kicking Kaliya's heads. And just as a dancer, an expert dancer, sometimes will take plates and bowls and place them, Krishna would jump, they jump from one plate bowl to another. He was kicking his heels, da, 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 kicking and kicking, and jumping from one hood to the other, and dancing and kicking. And all the Brijbasis, because he was just a moment ago he's being held, and now he's dancing and going tai tai da 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 da, and kicking Kaliya in the head and jumping from one hood to the next as an expert dancer. And the Brijbasis were so happy to see this, the extent of their misery was at its lowest. And when they saw Krishna dancing on their heads and kicking them, but doing it in that way, with his turban and everything just perfectly, and smiling, especially at the gopis. They knew he was smiling at him and moving the eyes the way they move their eyes and looking this way and that way. And he was telling them, our time to dance will come later. And he moved his eyes. You know how they move their eyebrows and their eyes going this way and that way, kicking this way and kicking that way. So the Brijbasis were so joyous on the shore. So, because they had full identification, Krishna, as Sukadeva explained, was everything to them. His unhappiness was their unhappiness. His danger was their danger. They had no independent feeling of existence other than Krishna is ours. Krishna is mine. My Krishna. They had no other sense of self other than being Krishna's. With that special mood of love that is so powerful that they can even see that he's God practically, but it doesn't make them fold their hands and be respectful, and their love doesn't diminish. This is Vrindavan. And this is why Krishna cannot take one step out of Vrindavan. I want to jump back a little bit. The gopis, when they were seeing Krishna caught in the snake coils, they had no feeling of existence, practically speaking. The universe felt void for them. Sunyayate jagat sarvam. So Mahaprabhu is tasting these things to a level that, of course, we cannot penetrate into. But he's tasting them like the Brijbasis tasted all these past times. So therefore, when he got to Vrindavan, his ecstasies knew no bounds. Please remember that Mahaprabhu was tasting this just by going to the pastime places and remembering the leelas. And then when he went back to Jagannath Puri, he was not even in Vrindavan, but he was just tasting and tasting and tasting in separation. So Krishna was now dancing and dancing and dancing and kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking, and the Brijbasis are now happy. And Kaliya is becoming miserable because he's being defeated. And the bigger our false ego is, the less we like the taste of defeat. And Kaliya's false ego was huge. But then gradually, because his wives were devotees, gradually he understood that this Krishna, who my wives have told me about, who is so more powerful, far more powerful than I am, He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he surrendered to Krishna. If we want to understand the difficulties of material life that we experience, the different types of uncomfortablenesses and miseries that we experience, we can think of them perhaps as Krishna's dancing kicks upon our big false egos, at least I can say for myself. And I don't like it. But gradually, we want to reach the conclusion that Krishna indeed is the Supreme Lord, and I should develop my loving relationship with him. When Krishna came out of the water, he was covered with jewels because the wives and Kaliya himself had offered prayers and made presentations to him. Seeing Krishna come out, everyone ran to Krishna. The people of Braja were overcome. They were trembling in ecstasy. Their voices were choked with emotions. These are all from their miseries to their happiness. These are ecstasies on the transcendental platform. They are the varieties of ecstasy that are available in Braja. They began to weep. Their desire to see Krishna remained always unsatiated. They just looked at him and looked at him and looked at him. Even when they were reunited with Krishna, they felt distress. They felt distress even in the ecstasy of their happiness. "He's back!" everyone joyfully exclaimed. The Brijbasis' desires were now all fulfilled. Their hearts and bodies had no power to turn away from Krishna, even for one moment. Seeing that his friends were overcome with the ecstasy of love for him, they were stunned that the hairs of their bodies stood erect. All the sattvika bhavas were... He saw this on their friends. He had done well. Tears filled their eyes. It is as if they had been wounded by a weapon. They were immovable. Their voices were choked. They were about to fall unconscious. This is on seeing Krishna, as if they had been struck with arrows. Their bodies were dripping with perspiration. And seeing their love, Krishna became overwhelmed with ecstasy of love for them. And seeing Krishna come out of the water, Krishna's contemporary, his Gopa friends, their eyes filled with nectar tears reflecting the color of Krishna's own form. One by one hugged Krishna. "My Krishna, look what he's done to Kaliya." They could not even speak the words, "I am." Honoring them one by one, Krishna made great bliss take birth within his mother, father, and friends. Everyone became stunned with bliss. The deers and the cows gazing at Krishna's arrival became as filled with ecstasy as the people. The trees that were formerly withered and dried due to the poison coming from the lake now blossomed with leaves and flowers in their joy. Mother Yasoda was overwhelmed with love, and everyone melted. It was as if simultaneously, it was as if it was so cold, unlimitedly cold, that everyone was just trembling. And at the same time, it was like they were so hot, they were all melting. The people Krishna saw Balaram. Balaram was aware of Krishna's power and was not worried for him, but he himself was withered in grief to see how the people of Braja were suffering. Balaram was very grave and deep, and Krishna and Balaram hugged for a very long time. Everyone, without shyness, just simply looked at Krishna. Everyone was so happy, except for Kamsa, who had spies there. And they immediately came and told him what had happened. And Kamsa began lamenting in Mathura. And when he heard that the cowherd men and the cows and the ladies and Krishna Balaram, because it was late at night and everyone was exhausted, when he heard that they were going to spend their night there, he sent some more spies with a very devious plot to start a fire and burn them in the middle of night as they slept. And indeed, it was done. When the cowherd men and ladies and everyone were surrounded by this blazing fire, they turned to Krishna and said, "We do not fear death. We do not fear this fire. But we fear only the great calamity of not being able to see your moonlight face." Srila Jiva Goswami describes that Krishna then made some sounds with his mouth, like the inhaling of air. And the fire was gone. And Srila Jiva Goswami says, the great sages have commented that Krishna must have swallowed the fire, and we accept that. So Mahaprabhu, could we just sing that song one more time? So Mahaprabhu was relishing, and maybe after you sing one verse, then I'll read the English, and then verse English, and then we'll end this session. Thank you. The moonlight, moonlike Lord Gaurachandra, arrives in Vrindavan, dancing, swaying to and fro. He sings the glories of Lord Hari. Creepers adorning the trees of Vrindavan are overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and they are speaking about the glories of Lord Hari. Flocks of birds who live in the groves are singing the name of Lord Hari. Lord Gaura says, Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
A female parrot responds, Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari, Hari.
And then all the male and female parrots start singing a loud chorus of the name of Hari.
Hari, 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 Hari.
Becoming intoxicated by the holy name, the deer come forward from out of the forest. The peacocks and peahens dance and frolic in ecstatic love. Lord Hari is in his heart, and Lord Hari is in his meditation, and he always chants the name of Hari with his voice. Gaurachandra is intoxicated by ecstatic mellows and rolls around on the ground while singing and singing Harinam. Arriving on the bank of the Jamuna River, he dances wildly while he chants Hari Hari. Mother Yamuna becomes so ecstatic that she arises and comes forward to wash the feet of Lord Gauranga.
Thank you.
And if you look through the trees, you can see Giriraj Govardhan.
Follow Giriraj Maharaj Ki.